1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. I am super pumped to be here today. It is a party. We've got Hannah, we've got Michael, we've got Leo. You guys are pros. Leo's not a pro. It's his first day on here. We got producer Julian in the house today. That's me spicing it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like my first time here today.
I like the color on that shirt.
You like the color? I've had a lot of compliments on this shirt, and I don't even know why. I never thought that orange was my color, but rocking the fall, you know.
There's no way that's actually orange. It's one of those colors that looks like a color. But yeah, one of those.
But with our cameras, I'm pretty sure it looks orange.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
sand. No, I know it's not sand. I was pretending like I was one of those people who would correct you and be like, isn't that?
Yeah, but it's a great tool for evangelization, because when somebody compliments me, I can say, oh, well, thank you, but I really get all my good looks from the Holy Spirit.
Did you go to the Harvard School for Segways?
No, I went to Yale, remember?
Oh,
remember,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
we have
you're
this debate.
Segways, too.
Yeah, we have this really debate about who has the better Segways, and we agree that it's obviously Duke University.
I love a good Duke University Segway. Speaking of which, I got nothing. Sorry, I was trying to come up with a good segue. We got fun facts coming up, but first we're going to pray. Would either of you guys mind leading us in prayer? It'd be super cool if you would.
I've heard that Michael does really good prayers.
Oh, do awesome. It, Michael.
Right, yeah, I got it.
Awesome.
All right, sign yourselves, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to be true in our answers and have good conversation. And through this episode, help us to reach other people so that they can share our stories with people in their lives and grow closer to Jesus. Let's pray a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
It was like an 85. It was fine.
85?
It was fine. Yeah, totally respectable. Yeah.
I don't even know if Michael knew that. I'm sure if you've seen the show, you know that we grade.
Michael's always watching the show. Michael, they call him Honest to God Michael.
Honest to God Michael. Is that who's been commenting? Thank you for your comments, Michael.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Honest to God Michael.
So the last time we had Michael on, he beat everybody's fun facts. And you can't use that one again. You just have to give us one this time around, though. And if you want to know what that incredible fact was, you're going to have to watch our episode that we did with Michael and Father Brandenburg from a long time ago.
Oh, yes, long time ago. We will link it in the show notes.
Oh, good. If we can even find it. Oh, my goodness. This is, that was distant past.
Distant past.
But first, Hannah, can you give us one fun fact?
Yes. So this Sunday is the feast day of Our Lady of Sorrows.
Heck yeah.
And she's one of my favorite Marian apparitions, if she's an apparition, but I'm doing a novena to her. So.
Nice.
For that feast day.
Can you give like a real quick like why she's your favorite? Because I always see Our Lady of Sorrows like the one that gets made fun of. Like, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. There was an episode of Glee, which is the worst show that was ever made.
Yeah.
And they had a competition against the Our Lady of Sorrows Catholic school, and the whole like bit was that the Catholics are sad all the time and cry and
it's one of those when I'm like, I really resonate with Our Lady of Sorrows, which is like, am I just a depressing person? Is that but it's when you actually like pray, I do not think any of this is from like studies or anything, but just from prayer with Our Lady of Sorrows, when you pray with the seven sorrows of Mary, she perfectly emulates how to handle sorrow. Like she's literally been through everything. She lost the greatest position in the world of Jesus Christ as a kid. She was told of this terrible thing that would happen to her beloved son. She witnessed it. She buried him. She had to fly did the flight to Egypt where she had no idea what would happen. But every single time she just like responded in faith. So I think I'm not the biggest fan of like tears being dripping down from her face every single time, but it's more of the response of how she handles sorrows in the world and in her life. Yeah.
That's really good. I like it a lot. Michael, what you got?
All right. I'm an entrepreneur.
Tell us more. Pitch yourself.
I got you. So, well, I'm not going to college because I inherited my grandfather's business. And basically what we do is industrial sewing and aerospace. So we make stuff for planes, you know, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. So we make stuff for planes and I'm just learning as I go. making a lot of mistakes, but having fun with
it. No, good on you, man. We did a whole episode on colleges, and I spent half the episode talking about how, like, good chance you shouldn't go. Like, it's great for some people. I went, I'm overeducated, and I learned almost nothing from my higher level degrees. My undergrad degree was great, primarily because it's where I met my wife. And everything else that I've ever learned for a job, I have learned on the job, and it's been fantastic. So there's definitely a place for it. I'm not saying college is always bad, but good for you, man. That's like a recurring theme on the show. Like, not for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
What about you, Leo? What you got?
I am, yeah, part of a family, and I have 19 siblings. So.
Awesome. Wow. Awesome. And I know a few of them that I'm big fans of, namely of the smallest variety, and then actually your two youngest,
Lucy and Derek.
Yeah, yeah.
Great people.
Was Lucy on the show?
She's been on a few shows. I believe. Yeah, good. At least two
I know
or three.
She's been here before. I wasn't sure she'd actually been on. I taught Lucy in 11th grade theology class.
Fun.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a good one. And a big shout out to your parents, who are like literally two of my favorite. This is a true story about your mama. I won't say her name on the air, but I work in a high school, and I had this boy in my class who was super squirrely. He was a great kid, but just squirrely, right? A pain in the butt, oftentimes, right? Super argumentative and everything. And we did vocations week at the school. So we had priests come in one day. We had nuns come in one day. We had all these different people come in. And your mom came in and gave a talk on the vocation of marriage. And when it was done, he had my class, a squirrely kid, had my class the next period. And he said, "Mr. Spence, is it weird that I want to be Mrs. your mom when I grow up?" I was like, I mean, like, kind of, but you, like, want to be like her is totally cool. So, big fan of your parents. Yeah. And you had something, Julie. You had a fun fact, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's related. I recruited Michael, actually, and Hannah from the same place, which is Cove Crest. In fact, when we were filming one of our episodes, I was with Michael.
I remember that.
Yeah, when I tuned in live, that was really cool. But so we are at Cove Crest, and if you've ever been, there's a lot of outdoor activities that you can do.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And Michael was working on trying to climb up the climbing tower, and I came to the bottom, and I'm trying to like cheer him on, like, "Michael, you got it," and I'm encouraging him to reach up to various areas, and he comes down, and then, do you remember what you said when you looked at me when you got to the bottom?
Wait, which one was it? Which
at the climbing tower, the ropes course.
Which one though?
So the one where you're actually strapped in and you climb up the side of the wall, and it's supposed to emulate a rock wall.
Okay.
Do you remember?
I didn't even make it up.
Well, yeah, that's true. So
I didn't even get to
that. That is true. I wasn't going to get to that. But he gets to the bottom, and I had been encouraging him to try and get to the top, and he looks at me, and he says, "If it's so easy, why don't you do it?"
I did say that.
You did, yeah, you did say that.
I did
that.
Say that.
And do you remember what happened afterwards?
You flew up the wall.
No way.
Oh, yeah, all the way. And you had Steve Allegarger, I think that's how you say his last name, from Life Teen, right. And he was sitting there like, "Wow, you give us old guys hope." And I'm like, "Wait, I'm an old guy now?
Dude,
what?"
Isn't that weird, though? I know we're not talking about being old, but I'm constantly like seeing myself through other people's eyes. All of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh, wait, I'm like that like mid-30s guy. I'm not cool at all.
No.
There's nothing." Like, I'm constantly having to remind myself that you'll all get there. Like, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, it will come, I bring that up because that was just my way of evangelizing was, hey, I mean, not
you
just climbing up the tower.
You beat Michael up this tower. It's fine. You can just tell that.
It wasn't even to show off, but he said it. He goes, "Well, if it's so easy, you do it." And it wasn't to say, "Hey, it's easy. I've actually been climbing my entire life." But it is one of those things that, hey, through practice, you can get to whatever it is you're trying to do. And that can be evangelizing. It can be climbing up towers to evangelize. And it was bonding with the boys. And
yeah.
I will always remember that. It was fun.
Well, speaking of evangelization, producer Julian, the topic of today's episode is evangelization. I don't know if you even knew that.
I didn't realize that. We've said it so many times this morning.
No, wow. And,
or this afternoon. It's 4 in the afternoon.
It's 4 in the afternoon because every episode of Honest Scott is live. So the topic of today's episode is everyday evangelization. And I mean, I'm kind of interested in where this thing goes. I was handed a list of a lot of sort of suggested ways to evangelize in your day-to-day life. But this is something that I find particularly interesting because what I do for a living, I teach theology, I run an Orthodox, lowercase O, Orthodox Catholic school, right? And like spreading the faith is literally something that I get paid money to do, right? And so I don't think I'm qualified to speak to this very much because I exist in a community where, you know, primarily my bride and my brood, and we're Catholic. Well, I don't know if you guys knew that. Yeah. And then I'm a part of this community. My whole community is pretty solidly Catholic into their faith. And so, like, evangelization is actually something that's not in my face as a problem with my community usually. It's something that I really need to focus on because we're all on the same page, which actually I think is almost a frustration, and it makes me lazy in a big way in regards to my evangelization. So I want to dig into it.
Well, I mean, before we dig into that, I would disagree because you come here and volunteer your time to help with Honest to God, an evangelization tool on YouTube, the radio, and podcasts everywhere.
And the rest of this episode, Producer Julian is just going to tell me nice things about myself, which would be great. Actually.
Anyway.
In fact, if you could all tell me, let's just go around. Everybody say one. No.
You have a great smile.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Michael. No, but I want to dig into that about what evangelization actually looks like in your life. So if you could give us a little bit of the background of sort of the position you're in, the state of life you're in, and the opportunities that you have to evangelize, whether you take them or not, I would love to dig in. Can we start with you, Hannah?
Yeah. So I used to be a missionary, so I know what it's like to evangelize full time. But now I'm back in the workforce. Actually, I guess another fun fact: today is my 2-year work anniversary at my work. So
hey, happy anniversary!
Been back in the workforce for 2 years now. I don't know if I've evangelized anybody at work, but trying. What was the question?
No, that was it. So what's your state in life and yeah, what opportunities do you have, whether you take them or not? To
yeah,
evangelize?
So I have a roommate. I live with her. So we are in a Catholic community. We're trying to build one up, so young adults. But yeah, we're just trying to push each other towards our vocations, towards Christ, and then go out into the community as we can and hang cool. out with fellow young
what
adults.
What does that mean you live in a Catholic community right now?
I just have one roommate, but we're both Catholic, and we both go to Mass, and we both go to super stuff cool. like this or whatever. But a lot of our friends like come over to the house, and most of us, not everybody, is Catholic, and they're very aware that we're Catholic, which is really nice that they're like, oh, yeah, no, you don't want to go do this thing because of that. Or
that's kind of nice.
It's actually really
actually.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. So
awesome. What about you, Michael?
Can you say the question again?
Yeah. What's your state in life, and what opportunities do you have, whether you take them or not, to evangelize?
State in life. Okay. So I just finished high school, so I'm not able to like go to Life Teen anymore because I've grown out of it. But I would say that while I was there, I was able to make tons of connections, and like it was so easy, you know, like so easy to just like talk to people about your faith, and then like camp to Cove Crest. It's so easy there. Everyone there is just so eager. Like, it's great. It's really great because everyone's so eager to just talk about their faith. But now that I'm, like, outside of that, I have to, like, I'm not just, like, handed it, you know? Like, I actually have to go and make the opportunities.
100%.
Yeah. And so, like, for example, like, yesterday, I texted one of my friends from high school. I didn't talk to him since, like, graduation. It's been, like, almost 5 months.
You go to public school?
I went to private school.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were really close all throughout high school, and I was just checking in, like, hey, like, how's school going? How's class? And something, like, me and him especially, we had this, like, he wasn't the best with his faith.
Sure.
And, like, he always came to me and asked questions about, like, hey, like, what, like, what's up this? Like, is it okay that I'm feeling this way? I just, like, always talked him through it.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, I was like, after like all the class and stuff, I was like, hey, like, how's your relationship with God going? And he was like, honestly, like, I've been falling away a little bit, mm-hmm. but I'm trying to get back to it. I'm trying to do better. And I was just like encouraging him through it, you know?
Good
so
for
I'm
you,
gonna, dude. I'm gonna keep bugging him about it. He doesn't know, but
yeah,
I'm gonna keep bugging him about it. So making sure.
Please do though.
Yeah.
I've told the story 1,000 times on the air, right? But the reason that I'm Catholic and care about my faith right now is because in college I had a couple of really good dudes who just like kept bugging me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And after a while I was like, you know what, you guys are kinda right. I do need to step it up a little bit, or this is something I need to take more seriously, and I need to stop just like rocking the label and actually move to deepen my relationship with our Lord. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's cool. What about you, Leo?
I'm a sophomore at UNG, University of North Georgia. And yeah, so my situation, you know, I can evangelize many times, you know, and every like opportunity I have, every new face I meet, I can evangelize. So, yeah.
Do you?
Do I? I wouldn't say I do all the time, but yeah, I focus on trying to make a connection, because if you don't have a connection, then nothing really goes anywhere.
Okay, so I think that's actually a huge piece of it, and something that I kind of want to dig into is that the importance of connection, right? We've all had the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on our door. Everybody mm-hmm. here has. And it's, hey, what's up? You should be a Jehovah's Witness. That's, I mean, it takes a little longer than that, but that's pretty much the pitch, right? The Mormons do it much better, in my estimation. I'm kind of like go overboard talking about how much I love the Mormons on this show, right? Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, awesome people, theologically bonkers, right? Super wrong about all this stuff, but they're such good human beings that I'm just all about them. And yeah, the connection, I think, is the distinction, right? Because what happens when in my experience, when the LDS folks come by my house, they say, hey, can we help you with anything? And I know at the end of the day, they want me to read the book. I read the book. It's a great book, by the way. 10 out of 10 for like Christian fanfic. All right. It's solid Christian fan fiction. But I can say that. Can I not say that? That's true. Right?
I have no idea if you can say that or not. I don't have a written rule out there for Book of Mormon.
It's great stuff. It's just not right.
But knowing classic John Henry, you are great at creating new rules, which we don't even need to get into right now.
But they say, like, hey, can we like help you out around the house? Do you need some help? They try to build a relationship. They're like, hey, I see you as a human being, man. Let's hang out. Let's bro out a little bit. And we always say, yeah, we have them over for dinner. We do all kinds of stuff. And I'm trying to counter evangelize the entire time. Right. But yeah, I think that distinction of, do you care about me as a person? Do you have a connection with me? Why would I care what you have to say, random guy? And I want to talk about that a little bit, because it's a lot harder the deeper the connection is, especially if they don't agree with you on fundamental things, right? Especially if they don't agree with you on the faith. We were talking last episode with Father Daniel Brandenburg, or a previous episode, and we kept coming back to this idea of maybe this wasn't with Father. Anyway, the point is, right, that if you can't see the other person for who they are, it was him with the politics stuff, right? Then they don't have any reason to. Like to respect you. I can still respect you as a human being. I can still see you as being made in the image and likeness of God and all of that. But I'm not, your opinion isn't going to matter to me the same way that it's going to be somebody that I really care about. And it's a lot braver and a lot harder to make those connections with people who are family members and close friends and things like that. Does anybody have like any, and it can even be your own story, of like successful evangelization, like somebody that either brought you into the faith or that you brought into the faith or a friend brought into the faith? I love hearing those kind of stories. I'd love to talk about stories that have worked.
So one of the main reasons why I'm Catholic is because one of my Baptist friends. Mm-hmm. So growing up, my family did their best, but we probably went to Mass maybe like once a month or so. Sure. I did not really know my theology. I went to Catholic high school, and that's where I kind of learned. I remember being like, they might call on me to lead the prayer at the beginning of class. I need to learn what a Hail Mary is, like right. That kind of thing.
But you weren't Catholic. Catholic?
We were Catholic.
Okay.
But
all right, sorry, nominally
yeah.
So. Yeah.
But I grew up going to this like Christian camp in a different state. This was back in the day where like she lived in Alabama, I lived in Florida. This is long distance phone calls, so we wrote letters and stuff back and forth. But when we got old enough and we had cell phones, she would text me almost every morning, hey, have you prayed today? Mm-hmm. And because of her, like in order to that accountability that Michael's talking about, because of her, I was like, oh, like somebody cares enough about me to ask me every single day. It's 9 a.m. Have I prayed yet today?
Right.
And there's more to the story with that. But because that was probably the biggest like chunk at the beginning of like.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Of somebody reaching out and caring about me enough to do that.
I love that.
Yeah.
So y'all should it'll make
that.
A difference. Yeah.
Do that to your buddy.
I might do that. Yeah.
I think this whole episode should just be focused on how
what,
we're
what is
Michael's
his name?
Buddy,
what's
Canada.
His address? Let's go.
Awesome. Give us his phone number. We'll put it in the show notes. Everybody call him. Ask him if he's prayed today.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. No, any other stories like that? I dig it. I think it's a good way to kick off.
I would say Kathleen, for example. She's the one who got me to start going to Life Team.
Kathleen, like, who I know?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
She's the one. We met at Student Mill Conference 2 years ago, and she just, like, kept bugging. She was the one who was bugging me about it. She was like, Michael, like, come to Life Teen. I was like, okay, fine. So I did. Met all my best friends there.
Awesome.
And it's, like, it's probably the best thing I've ever done. You know, like.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I think we confuse a lot of times evangelization with indoctrination. Mm-hmm. And they're very different things, right? I tell the kids that I work with a lot, I'll say, like, everything's trying to indoctrinate you all the time. And, yeah, you're in my theology class. I am trying. I'm literally trying to convince you of a doctrine, right? I'm not trying to brainwash you. There's a difference. But I do want you bought in. But I think evangelization is a different thing, mm-hmm. right? Evangelization is sort of an invitation more so than a lesson. Does that make sense? Or, I don't know, I'm trying to, like, clamp it down. Because you might have a good definition for evangelization.
Being a witness.
Yeah. What's that?
Being a witness to the faith.
Okay. I like that.
No, I think, like loving somebody enough to try to show them why they should care about Jesus Christ, right. as opposed to batting them over the head with a history book as to who he was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that comes up all the time on the show is Jesus Christ didn't come to convince our minds, right? And mm-hmm. it's great. That's a great thing about being Catholic. We got really good arguments. We can argue the faith all day long. That awesome argument you think you have against the church, some monk 1,200 years ago, like, already shot that down. Easy. It's like kid stuff, right? But Christ isn't here for our minds. Christ is here for our hearts. And, I like that. I like the idea of it's sort of like loving somebody enough. All right, so that's good. Do you have any friend stories, Leo, or you, or anything about being evangelized?
Yeah, I would say there's a really memorable moment. I went to a year-long missionary year up in Massachusetts, and I remember a particular moment where it was like I recently got there. I didn't really know what was going on, and one of the girls, Jessica, she was like part of the directing team, and she, like, took time out to, like, talk to me, and she, like, I don't know. I had a profound sense that she, like, saw me.
What does that mean?
Saw basically means, I think that you're important, and I want to give my time to you because, right. you know, you're loved, and
cool.
I want to see you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really felt, like, that moment, she truly knew, like, who I was in the sense of just, like, I'm a human being and, like, beloved by God, and she wanted to experience, like, what I said in relation to who I was.
Yeah, that's beautiful, but I feel like I'm so bad at that. I don't know how would I ever do that? That's a real question. I have no idea. You know what I mean? Because I think that's right. I think the best way you can evangelize somebody is being like, hey, I see you. And you are worthy, and you have dignity, and you are a son of God and a prince of heaven, right? You mean something. You matter, right? You do. All that. All that is true, right? But I think that's really hard to sort of convey to other people. Maybe I suck at it, and you guys are all awesome, and everyone you meet on the street, you're doing that too. But yeah, I don't know. How can I grow in that? How can we do that better with people?
Well, I also feel like it's not like us exactly. It's like God. So mm-hmm. like, I think just like making a really big effort to pay attention to someone mm-hmm. and like, you know, that they are a child of God. And so pay attention to them, and just try to love them, and God will show that to them in time.
That's huge.
Or whenever he wants.
Yeah. Not because at the end of the day, none of us are ever gonna convert anybody.
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah,
and he can use us as an instrument, but we just get to be an instrument.
And I know that there was probably many times before that someone did the same thing for me, paid attention to me, and it never clicked. But that time it did.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. And you don't think that was anything she did in particular? You think that was God working through her in that moment?
Yes, sir.
That's cool.
I always start with a compliment of something that you can tell is very important to them. And it could even be something as small as like an outfit. And one of the people or a specific class of people that I like to evangelize to the most is atheists. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they are oftentimes very hurt, especially from bad evangelization that has happened.
Oh, sure.
And I actually think we could get
bad
a lot into a bad evangelization in the second half, and kind of how do people get evangelization wrong, and how can we combat that? How can we recognize that, yeah, there's really a lot of Christians out there that do love Jesus, but just don't know how to proclaim it. And they do it in such a almost toxic way that creates injuries that pushes people away from who God is supposed to be.
Yeah. I definitely want to get into bad evangelization here in a minute. We've got a few minutes left before break, and this is kind of on the topic of bad evangelization. Why are Catholics so bad at evangelizing? Because we tend to be, right? As a whole, as a church, not as individuals, right? And I think about this historically a lot, how, you know, we evangelize the whole world, man. Big shout out to all of our Spanish and Portuguese listeners. Thanks for that, guys. Way to go. You're welcome, multiple continents, for the millions of Catholics you now have on you. Thanks to the Portuguese and the Spanish. But it does seem like we've given a lot of ground in regards to evangelization to the Protestants, to the evangelicals in recent decades. And I don't know why. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that.
Part of the reason is the evangelicals kind of conquered America.
Yeah.
And the Puritans and those who were not Catholic took over this country in a very, very strong way and brought in a lot of almost counter-Catholic teaching.
And I feel like it's global too. Maybe it's because they've got this base in America, but like my wife went on a mission trip in college where they were literally going through Central America to different houses, talking to people, and a big part of what they were doing is people, they were handing out these signs that people could put on their doors that said, "I'm Catholic, please don't come here trying to convert me to whatever." Wow. it was just wild.
Wow, that is wild. Yeah. I mean, if you kind of look at maps, and I don't want to go too far off topic, but you can look at how especially the English Empire went through and conquered after, you know, King Henry VIII. And so that would then spread into this anti-Catholic, which then would take evangelization the wrong direction because it's not rooted in the Eucharist. It's not rooted in faith. So the question of why are Catholics so bad, I think it's just because of our culture around us has created a really sour way to evangelize.
Man, this is a depressing way to end the first segment.
Well, no, but how are we going to save it?
Hey, exactly. We got to get
Stay
on
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts, guys, before we go to break here in a second?
In 10 seconds.
All right. Awesome. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about bad evangelization. Then we're going to talk about good evangelization. Second half is going to end on a high note.
Oh, absolutely.
We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are still rocking and rolling with Hannah and Michael and Leo. Producer Julian's in the house.
Pushing buttons as usual.
Good to see you, brother. Show notes, Benny. An infinite void of that which is and isn't to my right is making everyone uncomfortable. But, man, those show notes are getting written, and we appreciate him for it, whether he's there or not. All right. This episode, we're talking about evangelization, and we last left off on a fairly somber note, talking about bad evangelization. And I want to pick up with it. I want to start with Hannah because of something you mentioned that was pretty awful while we were on break.
Yeah. So I've been a witness to bad evangelization, as I think most of us have. I graduated from Auburn University years ago, and I'm still pretty sure this guy is there today. But there used to be huge steps outside the library. I think now there's a building there. But he would always come to the steps of the library and just preach hellfire upon us. He'd say, you're all going to hell, and Jesus will come, and he will take you away. And I don't even know, but he would preach for hours. And so the library is kind of an integral place to be on a college campus. So luckily there's a back entrance to the library. So we would text each other, go, oh, the preacher's out again. And we would purposefully avoid. And I'm like, I am very strong in my faith. And I'm like, I don't want anything to do with this man.
Right.
I feel like there's something wrong there.
What do you think he's trying to accomplish? What do you think those kinds of people are trying to accomplish? They get a lot of press. Yeah. I don't know what percentage they are.
Yeah,
I
mean, in a different vein, there was a different organization on campus that would hand out just the New Testament with the Psalms on it.
Right.
And that one, like, they would just shove it in your hand. You're like, well, I don't throw this away. It's right. The Word of God. And to me, that was a little bit nicer because it's like, here, you can kind of read for yourself. But his, like, this is fact. You, I don't even know you, are going to hell for things you've done that I don't even know what you've done.
Right.
It's just very impersonal and just angry. And if you read the Bible cover to cover, God is love. Right. He's not loving. He is love. Like he is joy. It's kind of the opposite message of, in my opinion, what's preached then.
Don't do that. Yeah. For sure. I mean, I always draw the juxtaposition with that. And I've done a lot of stuff outside of abortion clinics before, right? Mm. 90% of the time, 100% of the time I've done it. Sometimes been with groups that were doing sidewalk ministry kind of things. But it was just praying a rosary. Just being quiet and praying a rosary, right? And sometimes you would see the people who are out there yelling the most vile, awful things. And I never understood, like, even the logic behind this, right? No attempt to meet these people where they're at. It's like they just don't understand how human nature works at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me embarrassed to be out here with you and to be associated with you in any way. And I almost want to have a sign that be like, I'm not that guy. Like, I had nothing to do with him. I love you very much. And I hope you don't have an abortion. And, you're great.
And if you need a hug, I'm here.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. What about you? Either of you guys got bad evangelization stories?
Well, I totally agree with you guys. Like, when people force, you know, like, force it onto you, that's just not the way to do it.
Right.
People don't respond to that. You know, and Jesus definitely didn't do that. I don't think a single time. I could be wrong. But, you just be an example for other people.
Yeah, I guess less obnoxious ways of doing that are still bad, where you have people who are just insist on, hey, let me come and like you, stranger in public, let me come pray over you. Mm-hmm. Like sort of that hyper aggressive, whatever. And I think those people, a lot of times their heart's in the right place. But once again, that's obviously not how you reach anybody. As someone who takes his faith very seriously, I'm super uncomfortable. Even if I would love for you to pray for me, man. That'd be great. I need the prayers 100%. But man, if you could not touch me, that would be killer. What about you, Leo? Bad evangelization.
I'm going to talk about more of like why I think like those type of evangelizations are bad.
Sure.
I think a lot of times, especially with like, you know, you're saying the guy like screaming, I just think that it's like very judgy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think like judgment like really puts people off, especially if it's something about faith.
Right.
Where like you're passionate about, and if someone judges you, like that's done. You're done game right there. That's what I would say. And like, I would say like bringing joy to every situation is like the way to go, you know?
Well, and the meeting people where they're at thing is so big. We were talking before the break about sort of historical Catholicism as it was branching out across the world. There's a great story, and I forget, I want to say it was a French Jesuit missionary, but where he's in Africa, uncontacted Africa in the 1800s, right? And he finally, after talking and building this great relationship with this sort of village chief, the guy says, all right, I'm ready. I want to get baptized. He's like, this is perfect, right? And he baptizes the guy. And almost the next word out of this chief's mouth is, I want all of my wives to be baptized too. And he's got all these wives. And the Jesuit, in his sort of prudence, did not say, dude, you can't have like 13 wives. That's not okay. We don't do that. He said, great. I would love to baptize your wives.
Yeah.
And the whole point was like, later on, like, we're going to work this out. But he wasn't going to say that right then because he's got this connection with this guy. And I don't know. I think we could. I don't think that's something we're coming in contact with specifically too often, polygamists, tribal leaders. But I think that there's a lot that comes from that story that we need to understand. Leo, you were talking during the break about something in particular, about failing but having purpose. in regards to evangelization. I'd love for you to dig into that.
So one of my friends, Ada, she was telling me, because I was like struggling with, having faith and whatnot. And she said, like being a witness of faith and like even struggling and getting back up, in that, like that alone shows people, that like you're living for something. And like, going to mass every Sunday, or like even not even, maybe you can't like go to mass every Sunday, or maybe it's like hard to go to mass, but like, just the striving, like puts a question in everyone's head. Like, why does this person want to be better?
See,
that's what I would say.
I think that kind of, I'm just making up words to describe these things, but I think like that kind of soft evangelization is 9 times out of 10 the way to go. I mean, there's absolutely going to be times when somebody this happened to me. We have a friend or a family member who's like, I really want to learn more about your faith. Like, why do you believe these things? It's like, oh, cool. I would love to like sit here and have an in-depth conversation with you. Actually, the only time that's happened with not family members or close, the only time that's ever happened with non-family members has been in bars with strangers, who guys will have a couple of beers and then really want to dig into the stuff. And that's awesome. But the vast majority of the time is that soft evangelization. I've talked a lot on air about the importance of like with family gatherings and stuff. We just did a big beach trip with our family over the summer, big extended family. And the way we evangelized was being joyful, being honest. And by being honest, I mean, it's Sunday morning, we're going to mass. Hey, am I going to go to mass? We're going to go to mass. Oh, no, you don't. Okay, cool. Nobody wanted to go to mass with us. And that was fine. That was okay. But the whole idea was, look, we really love each other and we're really happy. And we're doing these things. And that happiness is not because I'm an awesome dad, right? Like, these are people who have seen me from being a really angsty teenager, all this stuff, right? That happiness, that joy is coming from my relationship with Christ, and being able to say that out loud. Not in a weird way, not in a like, and you right now need to read all of the New Testament and then you'll be happy too, right? But just willing to say, no, I just got back from Mass and it was a great homily and I received the Eucharist and I'm just like, I'm vibing right now, guys. I feel really, really good. This is a great thing. And I swear that plants seeds like nothing else.
Right.
Talk about, we use seed planting. We were talking about seed planting on the break.
All right.
You can give Kathleen a shout out.
Yeah, give Kathleen another shout out. Kathleen, thank you so much, Kathleen, honestly. No, but like for real. I went to the Student Bill Conference in Atlanta I think it was 2 years ago. And I just like went with one of my friends. I wasn't really like super big into the faith, and I didn't really experience like adoration before, especially on that scale, because that's Student Bill.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really powerful for a lot of people, and it was powerful for me that year. I had that experience, and then Kathleen was like, hey, like, I know you just like moved out to Woodstock, and like you're not really like into the like Life Teen group, but like, you would totally fit in here, so like come. So I was like, all right, fine, after she like kept asking me. And I met all my best friends there. And I still, like, all throughout high school, because this was, like, junior year, but all throughout high school, I stuck with them. I was friends with my friends from school, but, like, just not on that same level.
Right.
Because we had just, our relationship was grounded in our faith, you know? And, like, I know, like, saying that sounds kind of, like, cheesy maybe, or, like, not like, real, but like there really was a difference, and I could really tell, and other people could also tell, and they would ask like why, you know, like,
yeah,
like why are y'all like so close? Like,
what'd you say?
I was just like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only answer.
Well, and in that same vein though, I bet the vast majority of the time you were hanging out with those friends from Life Teen who were your best friends throughout high school, you guys weren't constantly talking about God and Jesus. You probably were some, right?
Yeah.
But you were doing normal things with people who you loved and cared about because you shared this really important, deep thing. And a lot of times just invite, because I think there were two people in that story, one of which you didn't say by name, who I think planted those seeds that are going to change the rest of your life, mm-hmm. right? The first was Kathleen, who said you should come do this Life Teen thing. And the first was whoever said, hey, you should go to the Studentville Conference.
Mm, yeah.
Right? Who was that? Did your mom make you?
No, it was actually my friend Eli, I believe.
That's super cool. I know. And it's those seeds things are so important for us to remember when we're doing that kind of soft evangelization or when we're trying to evangelize others. Like I was saying this off air too. My whole life is radically different because of a couple guys who just had real conversations with me a couple of times. And now my kids exist. I'm married to my wife, right? My life is about something other than me, like it was for so long. And it's just because of a couple guys who, I don't know, probably said a few sentences over the course of a few months that stuck with me and made me reexamine my life. Yeah.
Can I just...
Oh, no, please go ahead.
Can I just say a few, like one more thing? I feel like kind of with all bad evangelization, I feel like it's taking evangelization in like... taking control of it instead of letting God.
Sure.
Like, letting God do
it. Yeah, I totally agree with you. How so, though? Can you flesh that out?
Just like, you know, with the guy that's shouting, right? He, like, wants people to convert, but, like, you know, they may not be ready. But, like, with the soft evangelization, it's like you put out opportunities for them to see God, accept him and whatnot, and then you let him do the rest.
100%. And the softest of soft evangelizations that we shouldn't discount is praying for people. Yeah. Prayer is efficacious. 100%. Talk about seeds that you might never see bloom, right? We got to do it. I'm bad at it. I'm really bad at praying for people. I really am. I'm really good at praying and apologizing to God and asking him for things. But I'm really bad about praying for other human beings. And I know my life has changed radically because of people praying for me who I will probably never know that they were praying for. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I want to get into here the last 10 minutes or so. We talked about people that we know, sort of people in our orbit. What about strangers? How do we evangelize? Because I think we can. I think we can in a way that's not obnoxious. I think we can evangelize people that you walk by in the quad in college or something, or strangers at the street, or coworkers that you don't know that well, or acquaintances. How can we do that? Mm. What are your thoughts?
I think it's about not hiding our faith. So, like, if you're at, you know, in college at the cafeteria or something, and you're about to sit down to eat, and not being like, oh, I don't want to make the sign of the cross because so many people might be watching. So one person might be watching that wants to see an actual practicing Catholic, right? You know, just a small act like that, or like wearing a miraculous medal, mm-hmm. or just things where it might not be a big gesture, but just like I was at a work conference recently, and one of the ladies was wearing a miraculous medal. Yeah. And so during one of the breaks, I was like, oh, hey, like I noticed, is that a miraculous medal? And she was like, yeah, I'm Catholic. And she like,
did she whisper it?
She
like
whispered
that?
It. Cause it was an event that was taking place like in a church, but not a Catholic church. It was like a leadership conference, but that's like where the thing was. And I go, why are you whispering? I'm Catholic too. And I'm proud. And she was like, okay. And then another guy came and sat down and he was like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, he said something. And I was like, oh, I'm Catholic. And she said it again in a whisper. She goes, I'm Catholic too. And I was like, you gotta be proud of this. And this is a person who's almost twice my age. So I was like, it's weird that I'm like telling you to be proud, but I'm like, be proud that you're Catholic. And he was like, I'm Catholic too. And I was like, the three of us here.
Sit with us. We should be Catholic. Best friends.
So I think we sometimes take ourselves like, oh, we're the weird ones out, or maybe we want to go to an event, but I'm telling myself that the people around me don't want to go to it.
Right.
But maybe they, first of all, they could be Catholic, or second, they could be like questioning and wanting somebody to reach out to them. There's like a book called The God Ask, which is all about asking people for money for like evangelization or for mission work. But you can, the whole premise is like, if maybe God is asking you in that moment to ask those people for whatever it is. So in that case, it's for money, or it could be to go to that Steubenville conference or something. Right. So don't count yourself or them out just because you think that they'll say no.
Right. And don't count them out based on the fact that you're bad or afraid, or it will be awkward to do whatever it is. Because going back to what Leo said, it's not you anyway. You're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
All right. It's all the Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit.
That's super cool. I like that a lot. I want to throw this out there too. If you don't have like an elevator pitch testimony, I think you should totally have like an elevator pitch testimony. Like a 30-second, if somebody does ask to have an answer, right? And I'm saying that partially because it's written down on this piece of paper, and I thought that was a good idea to say earlier. But then after I wrote it down, I thought that's a really smart thing for me to say. I realized I definitely don't have one of those. So I mean, but I think if I did, it would be like I wasn't super into my faith at all up through high school. I got into a lot of legal trouble at one point. I got moved to another school, and I had this Presbyterian minister who cared about me, and he got me thinking that there might be something to this Christianity thing. Then I'm super into history. I got really into the early church fathers, and they were so Catholic. And so I started going down that path, and I truly believe it's the church that Jesus Christ founded, and it's my faith. Boom. That's my elevator testimony. I'm kind of proud of that.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'll offer a slight way to evangelize to strangers is praying before a meal in a restaurant. And being very intentional about right. it, you know, making the sign of the cross. Obviously, you're not going to stand up on the table and say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pray, please be quiet.
Ave Maria, grazia plena.
But just the making of the sign of the cross, especially how you carry yourself is very important too there, because that's noticed. It's different. It's odd. A lot of people do pray before a meal, but if you make the sign of the cross, it is a huge tell of, you know, what religion you are.
Right.
And as a way to evangelize, even if you don't even speak to somebody.
It's a good public facing sort of Catholic mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, so take that, Protestants, with that just head down silent thing. Nobody knows what you're doing. You could have a migraine. Yeah. We don't know.
At the Paris Olympics, I don't remember what her name is, but one of the track stars, I think she's Catholic. Was it NBC that did all the coverage?
I think so. Yeah.
But I thought they did a weird job. They kept zooming in on people, either their faces or their feet, mm-hmm. like the whole Olympics.
Okay.
But for some reason, so like during her race, right before she did the sign of the cross, and then she lined up in the, I don't know what they're called, but she put the feet in the things, mm-hmm. and then she was there, and they zoom in on her face closer and closer and closer, and I was like, I'm pretty sure she's saying a prayer right now, because she was talking
That's
to herself.
So cool.
And I was like, and she had like her little cross dangling right there, and I was right. like. This is really cool. Like, I'm pretty sure she's saying like a prayer, and she's Catholic, and she's about to race. That was very world stage. Was very beautiful.
That's beautiful.
To see.
Yeah,
yeah.
I sat next to every time I'm in an airport, I always look for priests. I just like wander around looking for priests. I really do.
You just wander around.
If I'm flying, like I usually get there really early because I think security is going to take 4 hours and it takes 7 minutes. And
in Terminal E, they have that chapel with the Blessed Sacrament.
I know. That's a fairly new thing mm-hmm. at the Atlanta airport. But I wander looking for priests and nuns, right? And that's what I do. I'll take my kids with me. It's just a fun pass the time thing. And you usually find them, right? Especially if you're flying international or something. You'll usually find priests and nuns. And I ended up in this conversation with this guy who I thought was a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. And I got closer and I thought, you're not a Catholic priest. And it turned out that he was an Antiochian Orthodox priest. And so I walked up to him and said, hey, Father, are you Catholic? And he says, I am Orthodox. And I'm like, oh, cool. What kind of Orthodox are you? Trying to be ecumenical? And he's like, I am Antiochian Orthodox. I was like, oh, neat. I don't know anything about that, but that's cool. And we ended up having this little like back and forth and super kind, super respectful. And we ended and he said, I hope that one day you will be Antiochian Orthodox. And I was proud of myself because I said, and I hope one day you are Catholic, Father. Swim the Tiber. The water's fine. And I was really proud of myself. And he looked at me weird. And I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm saying that because I think we as Catholics a lot of times will be evangelized and not like push back mm-hmm. and be like, oh, that's really cool that you think that I should be a Jehovah's Witness. Alternatively, you should check out like the Catholic Church because it's really cool. Jesus started it. It's neat.
I usually just say I hope that we heal the East-West divide and we're all together as one.
Dude, don't get me started on the schism. That is like one. If you gave me one like theological thing that I would see fixed in my lifetime, it would be the schism of the Eastern Orthodox. I feel like we're in this relationship with Eastern Orthodox where we really like them and they don't like us very much. And I'm always like, no, bros, we're bros. We should be friends. And I've only gotten kind of like standoffish, whatever, mm. from them. I think they're amazing. I love the Eastern Orthodox.
Yeah.
All of our problems are not real. It's right. all just Latin, Greek,
also,
cultural
they're
divides.
Very, very reverent.
Oh, and we can liturgically definitely take a lesson from that. They beat the pants off of us in terms of like liturgical reverence and yeah. just the beauty of the liturgy, at least sort of the mainstream
right.
Catholic liturgy. One last thing I want to talk about is evangelization via decoration. All right? And I want to throw you, this was just something I felt like I wanted to write down earlier, and so I wanted to bring it up. And here's what I mean. A huge shout out to every 70-year-old Catholic woman who bought a 6-foot-tall concrete statue of the Blessed Mother and put it in their yard. I mean that seriously. I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. And your houses or your apartments or your dorm room, having Catholic stuff up is a huge deal. And I think it's a great way to start conversations without being pushy and weird. My house has got, it's mostly decoration, it's mostly pictures of my children and Mary, right? And obviously I have crucifixes up in all the rooms and stuff like that. And I can't tell you the number of conversations that started with people, with family members. Even if it's just that Caravaggio print is really pretty, right? And then you get into a little conversation about it. So worth doing.
That's definitely worth doing.
All right, I got something, a message sent to me from the east, from the ether here. One practical example you can easily do with strangers. After getting your order, like with food or something else, saying, thank you, God bless. Oh, that's a good idea. Producer Benny, or I'm sorry, show notes Benny from the ether. Yeah, saying God bless, email signatures too. I don't know, maybe that's hokey, but I do a lot of God bless or in Christ on my emails. I know that doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I do a lot of, like, if somebody says, like, oh, this great thing happened to me, I go, praise God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He is Producer Benny, by the way. He was promoted.
Really?
Yeah, I know we like Show Notes Benny as his title, but he was promoted.
SNB is now PB. That's weird. I'm sticking with SNB, I think.
You can keep it SNB, right. But I would love to get into some Popsicle Sixer questions.
What do you know? Great minds.
Are you kidding
Producer
me?
Producer Julian, that's amazing. So does anybody have any closing thoughts on evangelization of any variety before we jump into loaded questions?
Yeah, I would say so a huge thing is like they'll know we're Christians by our love.
Right.
And part of that is being joyful. Maybe some practical tips on evangelization. So remembering someone's name. So when you meet someone, remember, and I'm terrible at it, so I have to work on it myself. But like if you can remember someone's name, it's actually surprising. You know, like when someone's like, oh, like, you know, what's your name? And I'm like, you know, Leo. And then they're like, Jeff. And then like the day later, I meet at the gym again. I'm like, hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, like.
Well, going back to what you said originally, the whole dignity and I matter and you see me as a real person.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm also terrible at that. Yeah. Anything else, guys?
I would say going off of that real quick. One of my friends told me this, like, be an apostle of beauty. And by that, I mean, like, make people ask why. You know, like, why are you so happy when you're suffering? Or, like, why are you, you know, just why do you have this perspective of life when everything's just falling apart, you know?
Right.
And, like, people see that and they're like, wait, maybe something's up. Like, I want to, like, understand that more.
And then
like,
be honest when they ask.
And they're like, hey, like, what's up? And you just feel like, was this Jesus?
Was it St. Augustine that said beauty is the best way of evangelization?
I don't know. Do you know that quote?
I don't know.
It's a really good quote. I don't know.
Sure. Maybe it's Thomas Smart. I don't know. One of them.
Yeah. One of those really smart guys. Yeah. That's cool. Any closing thoughts from you, Hannah? You've been killing it today.
No. Just love your neighbor as yourself.
I dig
it. You know?
Yeah. Did you come up with that?
It's just me. If I hear that from anywhere else, I need royalties.
That's really good. All right, we are going to... Oh, sorry.
I actually have a very quick closing thought as well. So if you are ever here at the studio on Honest to God, make sure you grab some of our business cards that has the QR code to get onto our YouTube, and you can hand them out to your friends, neighbors, coworkers, and that's another way that you can evangelize.
And you can leave it on tables at restaurants.
Yes.
I was just told to do.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do loaded questions. If you haven't done these before, you pick your favorite. We've got about 90 seconds, so we're lightning speed going through these. Mine, what quality do you like most about yourself? I'm going to go with physical quality, and I'm going to go with my beard. I really like my beard. Yeah. Jealous. What you got, Hannah?
What activity do you love to do with your family? My family are early risers, so I like having breakfast with them all.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right, where was the first place you drove when you got your license with Chick-fil-A?
Heck yeah.
Got a number one.
By yourself?
Got a number one.
Yeah, of course by myself.
Yeah, I just check it. Oh, yeah, yeah. I forget. When I was a kid, the second you turned 16, you could put 14 buddies in your car, including like four, and then your pickup, the bed of your pickup, and drive wherever you wanted to go.
With no seatbelts.
It's a very different world right now. Yeah.
This is a hot take. What should never go on a hamburger? I would say relish.
Real, that is a hot take. I'm a big relish. I put relish in chicken salad.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a relish person. Don't knock it till you tried it. It's good.
All right. So the one I have is, what do you love most about school?
Yeah. These questions are designed for like 6 through 10 year olds, by the way.
That's right. For all of our young listeners out there, school really is a great way to expand your mind and expand your way of thinking.
All right, guys. Thank you all so much for being here. I really appreciated this. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Bishop Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.